Okay, I'm not going to bother to repeat that, but we did just take roll. And let's see, approval of the agenda. I only put that up a couple hours ago, but hopefully people got a chance to look at it. Basically, it's just reports today, no votes. Does anyone have any questions or additions?
The date at the top is wrong. You have October on there, I believe.
What month are you in? Yes, okay, that needs to be corrected.
Okay.
We'll assume that that gets corrected. Yeah, I just, in fact, the previous minutes, the agenda, I forgot to change that as well when I went and updated, because basically I just copy-paste. But aside from that, those two corrections, in that case, I'd like to approve the agenda as stands. I will move, though, Stan's section first because he said he couldn't stay with us for long. So he's
sorry.
Okay.
That's all right.
Any objections?
Can I object? Or?
No.
Okay.
Agenda approved. Previous minutes, we will stick to that one, unless it looks like it's going to be drawn out. Does anyone have any problem with the minutes? Jim had posted one version a while ago, and then Joyce just put the web version up. I'm assuming it's not much different.
Hopefully I copied it all over, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can always make corrections later if need be. Does anyone have any problem with those minutes? In that case, I'd like those minutes to be approved as stand. Any objections? Okay, minutes approved. First item then, we're going to take talk to Stan, and really there's no particular thing. Just wanted to kind of make sure that everyone knows who Stan is, for those people who haven't talked to him before, and we have a little bit of a discussion and hopefully come to some idea on how we're going to proceed into either getting a contract or not getting a contract, I guess, but at least make sure things are upfront and open and communication channels are open. So, Stan?
Yeah.
Do you have any wonderful opening statement? If not, I'll ramble on a bit.
No, I wouldn't say I have any, certainly not a prepared opening statement. It just, there's been a lot of probably speculation and stuff on it, but just to make it somewhat official, where I'm at right now is that Juggle Magazine, staying at the size it is and not being able to expand our advertising in the magazine, which is a revenue source for us, it's actually contracted. It's always been a break-even, but now we're starting to slip below that. And so I'm beginning to hedge towards the idea of that I don't see any signs of growth in it. So at what point do I back away from it? And I'm creeping to that point, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is that because we met in Buffalo and I heard you talk. Is that because you expected more growth? And what would be the growth needed to keep everything as it is now? Or do you really have that yet?
I'm sorry, do I really have?
Well, the figures, like I say, what would we need, to break even? Because like I say, because I don't think we've diminished our membership that much, but I know even in Buffalo you said, we can't keep it up like this,
Right.
And I'm not sure, it'd be nice to have a goal to say, hey, this is what we need to get, because I really appreciate the great work in the magazine, and I think it's a really plus for the organization. You do a wonderful job with it. So, I really don't want to lose that. So I'm just trying to, figure out what we need to do, too, and then, then the big thing is, of course, trying to do it.
Right. It's not a specific number. All along, I've felt from the very beginning that juggling could dwarf magic from a standpoint of that it's, more fun, easier to do, easier and harder to do all at the same time. But, I've always felt that way. And while, we've had our ups and downs with it, I was very pleasantly surprised to see that after Reno that there wasn't a mass exodus and the organization really didn't drop numbers very much. So that was positive because I felt that, well, okay, for everyone we're dropping, we're picking up one. That's a good thing. But in the last year, I guess it is, or so, I don't see any indication of any growth. So, I mean, if we were picking up, you know, 50 people a month, you'd say, well, it'll take us a while, but okay, we are growing. If there were things that sort of gave me indicators that that kind of growth is possible, that things such as, you know, publicity being brought to the organization or to the art of juggling, et cetera. What I'm saying right now is all indicators seem to be on flat line. They're not going down, but they seem to be very flat across it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I mean, if it was spiraling down, well, then I'd be able to tell you, no, instantly, we can't continue it. But it's just, we're just at that another year point.
Right.
And I've committed myself here to say I don't want 2006 to be just another year. If we're not growing with the IJA, then we will drop juggle out of it. So I can't answer your question with a number because I don't have a number.
Because
I mean,
like
if next month the IJA grew a little, and if the following month it grew another nice little chunk, and if after that there were plans to be put into something that I looked at and could say, wow, that's a good PR idea, that's a good promotional idea, bam, whether that's World Juggling Day or the convention or whatever it is, if some of those things were in, but I started seeing some of those things come into place, and, you know, then the numbers start to, they're not as critical because I'm looking to the future. I've always sort of looked at it as a future thing for us.
No, I agree. Like I say, because I would assume, I don't know a thing about the magazine business, but, you know, I've bought a few, and I was telling Dave Davis, I bought a couple of the Magic magazines just to see what else you put out and stuff. And, of course, one of our problems with juggling is there just aren't as many advertisers that I'm aware of. Now, you may see some on-tap source, but, I mean...
No, we haven't.
Yeah, okay, well, that's right. I mean, so it's membership-driven. I mean, it's not going to be vendor-driven by any means or supplier-driven because there just aren't that many people willing to advertise, I would assume.
Right. There's a difference. There's certainly a difference in the mentality of where magicians are looking for, you know, the next trick, another idea, another secret, another thing. And I think a lot of that is based, not all of it, but a lot of it is based on props or, you know, learning all new tricks. They're inventing tricks every day. Hundreds and hundreds are invented.
Uh-huh.
Where in juggling, it's a little bit more, at least this has been my observation, of, you know, you get a set of balls, you get a set of rings, clubs, and now you go to work.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say, oh, great, what's the latest gimmick idea or something. So, no, Magic Magazine is driven 50% of our revenue comes from advertising and 50% comes from sales, readers, subscriptions, and shop copies. And
just as a question, just for my own knowledge, do you, like I say, because I know it's sold in, obviously, Magic shops, do you get a lot of subscribers also?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Of our 9,000 plus readers, 6,400, I think 6,300, 4,000, somewhere in there, are direct subscriptions around the world.
Wow. Okay.
And our market has shrunk there a little bit too. We were over 10,000. We were at 10,200 before 9/11.
Wow.
So we feel that there is some resistance to, especially with youth magazines in general. And that's where we're starting to explore how to tie our website better to it. We're looking at a private part of the website. We're also looking at a premium subscription concept of where a DVD would come with every magazine.
Hmm.
We're also looking at a junior program, a junior magazine that would never be printed on paper at all. Hmm. I mean, these are just things that I throw out to you as just, if any of them will come to be, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just looking at our demographics, and we're saying, and I don't know if it's the same in the IJA, but Magic Magazine has a very small demographic in the 20 to 25-year-old range. And then when you get up in the 45 to 65 area, or 55 even, we have a much higher demographic. Why is that? It's always been an art where people got interested early and then sometimes drifted away and then usually might come back to it later. The difference now is that they're not buying magazines as much early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I believe that, yeah.
Right.
I like that idea of a premium, like, DVD being with it. That's a good idea.
Well, it's been pitched to us, and they seem to think that people would subscribe more. And
yeah,
it takes us into a whole other business.
Yeah.
But we also feel long-term that might be our business someday, that eventually, you know, magazines might fall by the wayside. I don't know.
Well, I could see that as a possibility, I mean, just off the top of my head in juggling, because it is so, I mean, there's a lot of visual learners, so a DVD makes sense. I mean, you know, one of the problems with a magazine is it's, you know, as visual as it can get, it's still not the motions, you know, so I can...
Exactly. The other element that I don't know if you've thought of, but we've talked about here too, is it used to be when I was growing up, and you guys tell me how it works in juggling. I'm not sure it's exactly the same. But when I was growing up, I joined a little magic club, and boy, that was a highlight every month going there. Or when a magic magazine arrived, when I could afford to subscribe to one. Or once a year when there was the big magic show, the professional magic show up in L.A., and we would drive up there 3-4 times and sneak in the back door. But I would go home from that thing, and I would work on my act for 2 or 3 months, you know, all excited, new ideas. I would get a new magazine, and I'd get pumped again about it. It was sort of like you were getting your fix,
uh-huh.
Your magic fix. And in the magic world, conventions are down, magazines are down, clubs are down. And part of that, they feel, is that the young kids today, they get their magic fix at their computer screen, and they can get it 24/7. So a magazine arriving is not their one source of the fix, or going to the juggling club, or going to the festival. And I remember Randy Pryor and David Diebel and Ricky Coleman all around our Long Beach Mystic group. And these guys, you could see it. Weeks before the IJA festival, they were getting pumped. They were working and practicing and doing all their stuff. And then afterwards, they floated around for a week or two afterwards. You know, I'm not sure that that kind of a thing can still happen or not.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with you. Of course, I'm very limited in my view because, being older, I get my fix through the magazine. I mean, I'll probably never be as comfortable sitting down to a screen. It's just not the same to me. I still like that, you know, thing that comes in the mail, and boy, I can really pour over it and look again and stuff. And so, but I agree with you. I know my daughter is much more, very quick. You know, she wants to look at it and get out of there. She wants to, you know, carry something around. It's not a big deal. But yeah,
sure. And if you ask my son what the temperature is like, is it cold outside today? Instead of going over to the window and sticking his arm out, he'll go on the computer and he'll tell me the temperature.
Yeah.
You know, you go, I don't get it, but I'm not 16.
That's right. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's having any bearing on the IJA as an organization or not. I would have to think the Internet is having some effect, positive or negative. But all of this just sort of wraps back to the point of, again, I have to tell you that, you know, a longtime editor of Magic Magazine has moved to one of the Society of American Magicians to become their editor of their magazine. So he's left us. He left us in June, and I took over back reins as editor of the magazine. So my plate has been quite full in the last half of the year. And I've just sort of, you know, I check in Alan. We go over all the stuff. And Alan makes a magazine happen, and I deal with all the, you know, the printing side of it all and everything. But I'm not really up on what the IJA is doing. My only indicator is what I read in the magazine and also what I see in the numbers. And so all of that just seems a little bit flat to me right now. And I don't know. I don't know. David, you can ramble on now. I've rambled on.
Yeah, okay. also, at one point I thought Kim started to say something.
No, that's okay.
Okay. In that case, I'll speak to that a little. I do think it's affecting us. I think that it used to be Juggle was the magazine was a flagship product of the IJA, and it's no longer viewed as that. There are some people who still it's huge for. And I still think its value to the organization is huge. If for no other reason, having it sitting on a coffee table or something reminds people. Whereas web content is fabulous, but it doesn't appear on your screen unless you go to the page. Juggle appears at your doorstep. That's a marketing plus for us. It forces people, it forcibly reminds people, hey, there's a juggling community out there and you're part of it. And so I think it'll be a long time before we can move away from a magazine. Even if it's financially no longer viable, we'll still have to do it. Just my take on it. I am interested in knowing what it would cost to include a CD or DVD, because it might be one of the problems with the internet is it still takes a long time to download some of these videos. We might be able to publish essentially free videos that we, you know, pull off the people donate or give off the internet and put that in a magazine and create enhanced value there. So I'd be interested in knowing what that would cost.
Dave, that's what I was going to speak up about before.
Okay.
Is the Mac magazine, the Macintosh magazine that's put out or was put out years ago, came with a DVD with it. Now, granted, with that, it was just basically computer games or, you know, freeware type stuff that they were putting on there. Where with our magazine, I know some of the diagrams in the teaching section sometimes it's a little difficult to follow, especially if you're, you know, fairly new to seeing stuff like that. Even if we had a DVD that just showed what was in the teach-in sections as a visual, you know, short video type
right.
thing.
What I was thinking as cheap, easy content is if you take anything that anyone posts on rec.juggling on any given two-month cycle, there's probably a DVD worth of videos there that people are essentially giving to the world. It's a hassle to go and check for them and to download them. So there might well be a market just for taking those and distributing them to people. That might be considered a value high enough.
There's an interesting thing that we stumbled into because we've had people contact us in Magic Magazine to put a DVD or a CD into the magazine. The way we understand it and the way our postal people explain it, I mean, this plant is that we print at, we print Magic Act anyway, is an enormous plant, and they have a guy that's, have a whole department, all they do is deal with the post office. In fact, the post office has an office right there because they ship so much. He pretty much understands the postal code, which sort of scares me a little bit, but... when we went to get pricing on it, we were informed that the U.S. Post Office looks at a CD or a DVD as a different medium. Consequently, it can't go as what we refer to as a ride-along. If we wanted to put a catalog of somebody's, or if we wanted to put an insert, say a festival flyer, separately done, in the magazine, as long as it said, I forgot the phrase, but it's not an insert, it's something else, you know, an addendum to or an extra piece for Magic Magazine this month or Juggle Magazine this month, then that thing goes for something like 10 cents as a ride-along. Versus the CD actually goes as bulk mail separately. And consequently, it bumps the price up to like 28, 29 cents, and that doesn't count overseas, where it just goes as weight. So it made it cost prohibitive, but we're not 100% sure about that because our competitor is doing it. He's put two in them, but he's throwing a ton of money at it. And then I just found out, I heard that Macworld, if you're on the newsstand, you pick up a newsstand copy, there will be a CD or DVD in it very often because those aren't using U.S. mail, don't have to get the periodical rate. when you get your copy at home, it won't necessarily have that CD or DVD in it. It will have a website code number, go to, bam, download all that directly in. And that's sort of indicating to me that they ran into somewhat of the same problems. So we can do some more research on that to find out. But I mean, it's something I want to know more about anyway.
I know Macworld did used to mail them because I had a subscription to them.
I know, so did I.
Whatever has happened lately, I'm not sure.
Mac Addict has been doing it all along, still does.
They still do?
Yeah.
Right. I like the feel of that, depending on what's on that DVD or what's on that CD, whatever it is. You know. I agree. I think you should show the patterns that are being done, so show the... you know, I look at some of the illustrations that appear in Juggle, and they're certainly DNA quality. You know, I have no idea what all those things are on there. So, you know, a couple chromosomes short on this one here. Not that I said Todd Strong is short on a chromosome or two. But
no, certainly not.
No, of course not.
Well, I like the idea because I think, on the other hand, we could actually offer exclusive footage shot in a, you know, in an IJA festival, and it actually may make, you know, depending on how we price it, may make people subscribe just to get the DVDs, you know, if it's a highlights of the highlights or something.
Right.
You know, people may one year just say, hey, I want the best of the best, and subscribe for the year just to get that free DVD, and it's kind of a built-in cost.
Yeah, just FYI, I've been having talks with a few people about trying to get better video from festivals. We're thinking, my dream at any rate is to have like five cameras or something recording the festival. Part of this is to try to get on TV at some point, but part of it is would create a body of material, which really probably may not be a separate DVD, but it is something we could easily release throughout a year.
Well, if you can get, you know, if you can get people at your festival to sign off on having their acts recorded or their competition recorded, that's a tremendous amount of material. You know,
which we do.
Which you do. I mean, there's a thing going on. We're doing a story on a couple guys that started a radio talk show over the internet. 24/7 magic.
Really?
And yeah, it's called Broadcast Magic, I think it is, .com.
It's a cool site.
Pardon me?
It's a very cool site. I've been there.
Okay. Yeah, I did some interview work with them, and it's an interesting idea. They're somewhat flying by the seat of their pants, but it's they are doing it. You know, they've got a site out there. And we looked at it and said, because we've done a couple conventions here, and we've videotaped everything, and said, God, if you really sat down and figured out what a convention nets you, it nets you an enormous amount of video space. And that doesn't even count, you know, somebody who's got a teaching DVD and would be happy to give you, you know, a 10-minute clip out of their two-hour DVD as a promotion piece. So I think you could fill DVDs. I also think on your website you could have, or through the internet, you could almost have a television station or whatever there is there. I know these are major projects, and I don't know whether that's the right approach. Is the right approach to go after the juggler who's already there? Dave, you mentioned, I went to the thread on the site. I didn't read very far after you suggested a membership drive.
Uh-huh.
I did read the very first post, though, where the whoever it was said, are we supposed to go back and hammer on our non-IJA juggling friends? They've already made up their decision. They've made their decision. And I have to admit, I think that's a very valid point.
I think it's a valid point, but I think it's wrong.
A valid point, but wrong?
Yeah, well, it's a valid point because, yes, there are some people who have made up their mind. But I don't think it's near what that author or some other people may be thinking.
I think the point, though, is if you want to build the membership of the organization, and if you need to build the membership, and I'm not sure either of those are automatic answers yes.
Agreed.
You know, that maybe that's not the answer. Maybe the holding down expenses and having a quality organization that everybody's happy with, you know, things don't have to be, you know, growing. But if you do want to, I think the answer is drawing outside attention to the organization. And that means using World Juggling Day as a major promotional campaign for you outside in the real world. That means a website that, when you get to it, seems to be all about juggling. And that it gets people, here, learn how to juggle right here, right now. And that means maybe some kind of a package that, hey, we want everybody to learn how to juggle. Send us $10 and we'll send you a learn how to juggle kit, you know, or something. That means getting on Good Morning America or Today Show or whatever it is, you know. That means getting the message out to the people that are out there that are saying, that looks like fun, or I used to know how to juggle, or, you know what I'm saying? This is a whole new market. It's not going after the existing market. And that's a whole business then. So I don't know what the IJA, you know, is heading towards. But it seems like that a decision would have to be made in there by this board to say, are we looking to grow this? Are we looking to hype this organization? Are we looking to get the juggling and spread this word out there? Or are we looking to just run? And I shouldn't put the word just because that's not fair. Are we looking instead, though, to run a 2,000-person membership organization?
This is Bob, and I think you do point out, and I've always believed that World Juggling Day has been underutilized by us. Of course, the problem is, you know, how do you change it? Because it would be nicer to get it out there more. I know Kim's got some good plans, but it's just, like I say, in the past, it's always been very hit or miss what World Juggling Day is, you know. And you're right, it is probably, or it should be, one of the premier things to get some word out about juggling in general.
Well, it's an event, and newspapers and things like that, you know, that's their job, to cover events. So, you know, it's not like a juggling club that meets every Wednesday night or every other Wednesday night. This is an event that happens worldwide one day out of the year. So I guess from my standpoint, if you want to do a 2,000-member organization, and I don't see anything wrong with that, I think we're probably overkill for you. And the cost of us to get it to a point of where I can justify this might be overkill for the thing. If, on the other hand, you know, maybe you want to grow this organization to 3,000 or 4,000 people, then I don't think we are overkill for you. I mean, that's what it was designed at. Everything that we wrote in the early contracts and all the discussions and stuff were looking for a 3,000 to 4,000 member organization. All the numbers were built on that. And then we modified those numbers after 3 years. So.
Well, that's helpful, at least, like I say, for some of us who weren't around originally, you know, it does give us what the goals were, because, like I say, a lot of us don't have an understanding of the history, and that's what I was trying to get with some figures, just say, you know, what does anybody expect? I don't know. You know, I have no idea. One other thing I would like to say, and I wish you'd, you know, chime in a little bit more often with us, but just because you've got some great ideas in Buffalo, you had the greatest idea, I thought, if we could ever know where our sites are a couple years ahead, is to give a discount at the existing festival for the next festival. If people would sign up, I think that's a real winner. And, you know, if you're pre-signed for next year, you get a good discount. And I think you'd have a lot of people sign up, like you said. And, I mean, I think we're trying to get there, but it's just one of those things. But you've got some great ideas, and I really appreciate them.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you a very quick anecdote or story about the Society of American Magicians. They had a guy editing their magazine that has edited it for 24 or 25 years. And he came to the organization and said, in 2 years' time, I'm going to step out as your editor. And I'm giving you 2 years' notice because I think what you should do in the changing time, and he hadn't changed with the times. The magazine had fallen in fourth in a four-horse race. It was number four, and a distant fourth. It was always there, out, just no energy, no excitement, nothing to catch young people, et cetera, et cetera. He said, before you hire somebody to take over my job, the reason I'm giving you 2 years is, please, take one of those years and decide what you want to be. Interview your members or survey your members. Find out, do they really want a magazine? Do they get too many magazines now? Is that what they're looking for from your organization? Would they rather have lower dues? No magazine. Would they rather get a DVD every month? Would they rather get a newsletter with no advertising and just hot thing? Would they rather get emails? Skywriting. I have no idea. Pigeons. Anything. Owls, I guess it would be today. But he said, really, take a year and survey the hell out of your members and really find out. Find out what other magazines and other organizations are doing so successfully. And then at the end of that year, you'll still have one more year to blow it by your members and hire the team that you need to put them into place to deliver whatever it is you figured out that you will be. So I thought that was brilliant and very wise wisdom coming from a man that had been there for 25 years. The organization, on the other hand, 3 months after he gave his notice, ran an ad looking for an editor for MUM. We all shook our heads. So, David, when you, the other day, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but you said just personally, if you had your druthers, we would stick around for a one-year extension. My question to you would be, what is the IJA going to be, and what is going to make that year any different from the last year?
Yeah, and I think that's a valid question, and I don't have a good answer to it. Just off the top of my head, you know, I'm somewhat optimistic about the opportunities to continue to grow. Having said that, I was optimistic 3 years ago, and very little has happened. So at this point, I certainly will not stake any money on a statement that we're going to grow significantly in the next year. I think we have done things that have changed around the attitude. I think people's attitude toward the IJA is significantly better than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago even. Unfortunately, our membership is not as good as it was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. About the same, I guess, 5 years ago. At any rate, I don't know whether or not I actually wrote a piece for somebody I'm doing some work for on turning points. And I think the IJA is still, perhaps always, at a turning point, but it's at a turning point. We do need to make a decision here pretty soon. We need to decide, and it may be forced on us, the answer, are we going to grow, or do we need to work within our means? I think that's accurate. I don't think we've ever give up on the idea of trying to get more people to juggle, and hopefully they would join and the organization would grow. Can I guarantee that'll happen in the next year? No. I see some positive signs, nothing I would bet on, but nothing I would, it's also not clear that it's not going to happen. Okay? The membership drive, let me speak to that just a bit. The membership drive was as the board members know, kind of a last-second thought on our part, and it kind of shows it. It wasn't very done very well, okay? Having said that, we've seen a certain response from people because just the idea of realizing, hey, maybe I should go ask somebody if they want to be a member, has resulted in a certain number of memberships. One of our local club members called me today and said, you know, hey, I want to join. I just read about your stuff on the website, and I want to join. I've known him now for years here as a local club member, and all of a sudden he calls me out of the blue and wants to join. He tried to do it on the website, but PayPal wouldn't let him, which is a separate problem. But at any rate, I think there are signs that membership could explode. Okay, he said he thought it would be trivial for every member out there to find one extra member. I think that's true. I think part of our problem right now with the IJA that's hampering membership is that the members themselves don't think about the organization, we're so used to, the old members are so used to having an organization that we were ashamed of that we don't think to bring it out and say, hey, do you want to join? It's just not part of our thoughts anymore. Because for years there, we kind of said, oh, yeah, I'm a member.
Well, I think the reason I told you the Society of American Magicians story is because I think I'm suggesting that the IJA, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a year. The IJA needs to sit down and say, what do we want to be? Because I know it's too easy. It's like us right here. Put out 18 magazines a year. Now we got a calendar and a convention. But what happens is you just come off one deadline and you're on to another. I don't know why I go to the gym to walk on a treadmill. I'm on one here. But it's just one after another. And finally it occurred to me, that's how we end up saying it was just another year. And that's why written across the board here is 2006, not just another year. That when do you break that cycle? When do you pull out? I think, and I'm not very close to the IJA on the board and stuff, but it just seems like you guys are caught on the same kind of a treadmill, fulfilling little things, one thing here and then another thing here, and getting another convention together. And wow, you know, and suddenly the year's gone, and well, we're having an election, new board members. And I think it's. It would make sense to me to first sit down and really say, what do we want to be? Because if you say, we're fine being a small organization, now we want to be a really good small organization. Small organizations can still get hype on television and other things. And if the world thinks this is pretty cool, then we'll become a bigger organization. So much emphasis is, I read three of your, you know, statements because I went back to find out who was on the board. Sorry. And I read what you guys wrote, and every statement talked about how we have to grow the IJA, how we have to grow the IJA. Well, I'm not sure how you do that. I know how I would approach it from a business standpoint, but from an organization standpoint, you don't have the manpower maybe to do that. So is that really where you need to be going? And how do you get there? And wherever that is. So I guess I'm suggesting heavily to the IJA that they sort of analyze, what do you want to be? What do we want to offer our members? And not offer it from a standpoint of trying to get more members. What kind of a service? I'll throw one more analogy at it, and then I'll sort of shut up. My son-in-law worked at a church as a high school minister. And he and three of his friends left. And they left because the church spends their business meetings talking about how do they grow to 10,000. And him and his friends are saying, shouldn't we be talking about how we can reach out into the community and help the community around us? And not how we can take care of our members, but how do we challenge our members to reach out into the community? And that if we do all of that stuff and the community thinks this is great, then, yeah, our church will grow. And it's not exactly the same thing, but the concept of saying, how do we make just a wonderful organization for our members? How can we give them wonderful things? And then if a lot of people think that's pretty cool, they'll come to it. So that I think you're on the horn, you're at the crossroads, and the crossroads are either do you just focus inside and work on your organization and that's it, and then see if the world beats a path to your door, or do you look at it and say you think you've got an organization that's ready to be hyped, then we have to start looking at how you can do World Juggling Day and turn it into a major promotion. How do you get on television? How do you do all of that? So then lots of people that are out there, members that are past members, are sitting there watching television, and at the end of the news, the IJA is on there. I used to be a member of that. Wow, it looks pretty cool. You know. So anyway, I'm taking too much of your time here.
We do need to move on at some point, but I think we can go another 5 minutes or something like that. But at that point, let's call this discussion.
Okay.
I still have another comment I want to make, but anyone else?
This is Jerry. I'm very inspired by what you've said, Stan. I really feel the love behind it and the challenge behind it, and really am inspired to pick up the gauntlet and see what happens.
And this is Kim. Dan, you have spoken volumes of wisdom and given us a lot to think about. This is the first board meeting I've been in on where you've also been here to speak, and some things are things that have been rattling in the back of my mind, and as Bob Newman said before, I've got some things on the back burner going with World Juggling Day that if they come through, they'll succeed in doing some of the things that you've talked about, and just to let you in on what one of those things is I have a proposal in with McDonald's right now that World Juggling Day would be a kids' meal promotion for them.
Well, that'd be sensational.
With a How to Juggle booklet, it would promote the IJA. They've already said they would love to have the IJA information on the booklets and scarves in every kids' meal and Happy Meal. And right now it's at national headquarters just waiting on approval from whoever the bigwig is up there that makes the decisions. You've said tonight has inspired me to really move ahead with some of those things on a personal level. And as far as the organization goes, you've given me a verbal kick in the butt, so that's a good thing.
I would say if you had an opportunity to land that you would move World Juggling Day to whatever time of year is best for them, and that you would almost mold it to that, because if that happened one time, the exposure, I mean, the tidal wave from that exposure would, you know, could last for many years.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's an amazing thing. I always thought World Juggling Day should be carefully looked at from an image standpoint, and what you want is to play up the health and the fun and the, you know, excitement of it all. And do you get a sponsor behind it somehow? And do you get, you know, if a club is willing to chip in $50, then we'll send you 12 T-shirts and we'll send you all this equipment. And you guys go out into the park. Here's press releases pre-written on a CD. You just plug in your words and you send it to your local, you know, newspaper. And you know, you just say, God, what an enormous PR event. There's nothing in the magic world even remotely close to it, you know, that concept of it. So, if you're even at that level with McDonald's, that's an amazing thing, Kim.
Thank you. It made it past the regionals and the state level, and they took it to the head office now. So it's just a waiting game at this point.
Well, there's somebody there that has to fill up their calendar with promotions.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, Stan, this is Bob again. And
yeah, Bob.
I really appreciate your input. And like I say, this is what I'd love to hear, because like I say, in Buffalo, you're very impressive. And I, you know, you're losing your input, to be honest with you, with the magazine and everything, because you've got some great ideas. And you're right. I mean, there's a high turnover on the board, unfortunately. So it's not always very consistent, or people don't get caught up to speed, you know. And it just, like I say, that is one of our problems that we have to deal with. You know, I just really appreciate you taking the time tonight.
I'm sorry I've just sort of been non-existent. And, you know, I've always felt like, well, I've voiced a few of these ideas a few times, and, you know, it's even though I'm a member, you know, I'm a member sort of out of left field here. You know, and we have the same problems here. I end up pushing paper half my day instead of thinking about the kinds of things I should be thinking about, you know, and I'm sure the board has the same problems of having to deal with a bunch of things that you say there's big things out
there.
You have
some fresh ideas, which I like. I really appreciate it. And like I say, it's really been beneficial. Thanks.
My pleasure.
Okay. Anything else?
Dave, you said you wanted to...
Yeah, my personal comment is, I have several comments that I'll make over time, but the one I wanted to make right now is the one statement that you said that I think affects me most personally, and you said it very politely and very nicely, but our website sucks. We really do need to have a website in which when you go to it, you go, here's a site all about the fun and excitement of juggling, not about the business of the IJA, which is still the predominant theme. I think we've moved away from it a little, but I think we've got a long way to go.
I've always felt that way. I've always felt the magazine was one spoke in a wheel. The website is a very important spoke, maybe more important than the magazine. And the festival, of course, is another. Those are the three main ones, and then you throw in World Juggling Day. Well, now you almost have a wheel, a couple bumps, but you almost have a wheel. And you know what's funny? If you log on to magicmagazine.com, we're the same thing. We're all about just selling our magazine. And the other day I woke up and said, wait a minute, Magic's fun too. I've been harping at the IJA that their website should be more fun and that, you know, why isn't there something on our site when you go to it and say, hey, is this your first time visit? Would you like to learn a simple magic trick to have fun with your friends? And we're heading towards that now. We're not going to be there for probably 5 months, but it occurred to me I wasn't paying attention to my own, you know, my own suggestions.
Right. Yeah.
So I just think it's a question of your website doesn't suck. It actually is pretty nice, but I do think that the emphasis is still very corporate, and I think it should be emphasizing when somebody goes there the fun of it all, because when I walk around on the floor of the festival, these people are having fun. You know, they're having a great time. So you've got great potential. I mean, there's great stuff going on there. Just, I don't know what you do with it. Diamond in the rough.
I got ideas, and I'll probably post one on that later tonight here at some point.
All righty.
Stan, of course, you're more than welcome to stick around. We're going to speed this up from here on out and zip through the rest of the meeting pretty fast.
Unfortunately, I have an 11-year-old who's been home from school with a cold for a couple of days, and I think my wife is ready to put her out on the curb for trash night. And she said something about just getting out of the house, so I'm afraid I will not be able to stay.
Any last comments for Stan? Or?
Well, this is Joyce. I just wanted to say thank you also. I like your idea of focusing on making it the best organization that we can and not focusing on just getting new members. They'll come if we make it good.
I think you're right. So, great. Well, keep me posted, please. I've been sort of invisible and gone, but, you know, and Dave, I agree with you that I think very early in the beginning of the year, it has to be determined whether, from our standpoint, it's not too drastic of a decision, but I think if we're not going to continue from your standpoint, you need to know that as early as possible. So I'll leave all that with you guys, and then let me know what else I can do.
Thank you very much.
Thank all of you. Good luck. Have a great meeting.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank right,
bye.
Bye.
I very much appreciate Stan's comments. We are being recorded still, so but he's a marvelous asset to the organization.
Hear, hear.
And I think we can talk about some of that and should talk about it, some of the things you brought up over a period of time. Anyone want to do some comments on it right now, or do you want to – I don't want to go more than 5 or 10 more minutes, though. Let's go ahead and move on then. The reports, back in order, the next report is 2005 Festival DVD report. Joyce, I said you would say something on that.
Okay. I have not heard of anyone who has received theirs yet. They should be hitting the mailboxes any day now. The company assured me that they sent them out on Monday, and which I was expecting to have them by now, but who knows how long it took the post office to process 400 of those envelopes. They are shipped. They should be in California. All the others that were not shipped directly. We did ship 400 and some directly, everyone who ordered them through the festival, pre-ordered, pre-registration, or at the festival, or after that until about week. All of those were shipped directly from the company. They gave us a really good rate for shipping, so it was good. Naranja has bought 400 DVDs. Those have already been shipped directly to them. They are very anxious to get them. I get emails from them almost every other day asking when they're coming. They're very anxious to get them, which means we've sold more DVDs than ever before by this point.
No, but we've already sold more DVDs than we usually sell over the course of the year.
Exactly.
Right.
We also have a great new one, which is the individual props and the jazz and juggle. And we went ahead and replicated that one. In other words, we pressed it just like we do the highlights and championships, because we had enough orders that it was cheaper to do that. And they're better that way, too. And they will be in the standard
which case,
cases.
I'm sorry. Which case did we end up using for that one?
Good question. We used the MRA case, yes. Yes, because it has a cover and everything. It's an MRA case.
Okay.
Yes. The other two, which is the numbers competition and the youth showcase, are just in a slimline jewel case. But the other two are in the MRA case. I've seen all of them. I think they look great. I think they'll be a big inspiration to everybody to see them again. Alan's done a good job. They have nice menus, so much easier to navigate than the old VHS tapes. I did think about some, as we were talking about putting some DVDs with the magazines, I can tell you that, of course, these were a lot of footage and a lot of, we put a fancy case on them and all of that. If you put it in the magazine, I'm sure you would not have to go through, you wouldn't have to do the artwork and all of that. However, there are a large number of hours in getting just one DVD to market. I didn't realize how much until this year. So that's something to think about. It would require someone to spend a lot of hours to get it there. I like the idea of putting one in the magazine, not every month. I think that would be almost too much. But
we could almost do a special, you know, if you made it special enough, just once a year.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
People would subscribe for the whole year just to get that one DVD.
That's possible.
My guess is that it will kind of amount to what a lot of these things do, which is if we could find some people who will take on that project and think it's cool to produce the DVDs, we can
mm-hmm.
do it pretty often. If we don't find people to do that, then we can't do it. It's that simple.
Right. The replication is less than $1 per DVD, so it's pretty cheap. And if you're talking about $2,000 a piece, those costs are coming down every month. We got ours for 90-some cents a piece per DVD.
That, without so the case or with the case?
Without the case. Now, that's no case, no artwork, no nothing. That's just the DVD itself. You start adding plus, plus, plus when you do the artwork on the DVD, on the disc itself, then the artwork and the case and the shipping, and now you're up to several dollars a piece.
But, you know, if we went, you know, as a trial, just a bare bones, you know, nothing, just the DVD.
Right.
That's
pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could just try it one time. I mean, and like I say, not, you know, even every other issue, just try it once a year and see if it increases membership. And say, hey, this is an exclusive one. This is only how you get it. You have to subscribe. It's not going to be sold. It's not, no, maybe given away at festivals because we get an overrun. But, you know, if you want it for guaranteed, you got to, you know, you got to become a member.
Right.
And in most magazines that I've received DVDs in, they're just in those paper sleeves.
Yeah, like a sleeve, yeah.
Yeah, I have a question. Have you ever had any problems with those being broken?
No.
When you received it?
No.
No,
never.
Yeah, I was just curious because I sent Alan twice. I sent him a DVD, a CD of some pictures from the festival, and twice they arrived at, and I put them in cardboard envelopes, and they both arrived broken.
Well, see, they knew they were fragile. They were going to get them then.
Yeah, exactly. Those were packaged too well.
That's right. That's the old thing. Never put very fragile on site, because that's when they toss it really high.
Right. No, I should have just put it in a paper envelope, mailed it, and probably would have been fine.
Yeah, I think that's something we definitely want to explore. For now, though, does anyone have any other questions about the 2005 festival DVDs that are going out? Okay. I guess we'll move on. Those people who are paying careful attention notice Koch is not with us tonight. She had some stuff she had to do. I did talk to her shortly before the meeting. I'll try to remember what she told me as best I can. We haven't signed the contract yet. We have several contracts or arrangements with some of the hotels that I think have already been done. She has... She did talk about some of those issues that we brought up. I don't remember what she's passed on to people or not. If somebody remembers an issue, I'll try to speak to it. Most of them all had the kind of same answer, which was, oh, that doesn't really apply to you. Don't worry about it. To which my response is, well, in that case, we cross it out of the contract and say not applicable, and then sign it, just so there's no misunderstanding. But I think we're getting close to ready to sign it. I think I noticed that two people on the poll had said that they were ready to sign it now. I wasn't one of those. Really, I think we're to the point where not signing it isn't an option, so it's almost a non-issue. But if anyone has any questions about that part of the festival, let me know right now. Okay. Some of the aspects that I do remember was one of the things she's concerned about still is whether or not we have to have ticket sellers, their ticket sellers. She's got mixed reviews on that, which is why she doesn't feel comfortable signing it. I plan on calling her and saying that the board is okay with signing it at this point once she feels comfortable, which I think is something we've already said, but I'll say it again to her. Any rate, other things on the festival. I can't remember the name. Somebody Tomei, I think, is possibly going to be our special guest. Todd's trying to arrange it, and there's a possibility. You know, right now they're contemplating doing a Friday show, which includes him doing part of it and students bringing pieces to be worked on during the festival and then performed on Friday. Kind of a neat idea.
I'm sorry. Who was that? What was the name again?
Something Tomei. Some French guy. I'm sorry. I'm terrible with names, and I didn't know him. So
Jerome Thomas.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what I said.
It's spelled Thomas.
Okay.
But pronounced Thomas.
Okay, that's the name. French guy, good teacher supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm kind of ignorant of such people, but everyone I've heard about, and every time I mention the name, I get rave reviews. So.
Yeah, he's like the godfather of French juggling.
Okay. So that's kind of an exciting idea. We also are still planning on or thinking of or trying to run some ads for the festival in Cascade. I think he would be a good draw. I think Pacific Northwest is a good draw. I think there's a possibility we can get some Europeans to come on over. They're in a situation, for those people who don't know, EJC, which is probably our major competitor, if you want to think in those terms, is in the week before the IJA, plus or minus a couple. There's no overlap. It may be a couple days in front of that, but basically it's right in front of the IJA on the calendar. So that may mess up some people's plans there because they're used to it being in August. It's almost a month earlier than it normally is. That's an opportunity, maybe, from continental Europeans travel to Ireland, which is where it's being held this year, may not be that desirable or may be more complicated. And so traveling to Portland may not seem like that much of a difference to either way you're getting on a plane.
How much are the ads in Cascade?
I don't know. We haven't found that out.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming if they're comparable to what they run in Juggle, a color ad, one-page color ad, is $400.
Oh, that's not bad.
So it would not cost much to have an ad. And what I told Koch is, I think we do it even if it only results in one person coming, because kind of tying back into what Stan said, I think it's long-term in the IJA's best interest to create an atmosphere where people are thinking of the IJA and we are a force. So let me start that point over again. There's a thing in advertising where you say that the average person, before they'll purchase something, needs to be shown it 7 times. You don't hardly ever react on the first time. And so it helps to get our name out there and get our image out there, and it'll pay off. It usually will pay off down the road sometime. $400 is a very small investment.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that easily. I think that's a great idea.
Let's see, there's something else on the festival just came in. Oh, Bill Gittes is not going to be able to do joggling, so we're looking for a joggling director. He posted on the joggling forum, which is where I found out about it. So that's going to be a slight change. Prop competition is Jack Calvin is interested in running prop competition this year. I'm inclined to allow him to do it. He's got some changes in mind that he thinks would be kind of neat and innovative, and I think it'd be fun to try them. More on that some other time, I think. But I wanted to give everybody a heads up. Anything else? Any questions? Okay, then, let's move on to job descriptions, and that's you again, Joyce.
Okay, this was, I had promised a month or so ago when I said that I was resigning as merchandise director as of January 1st, and I'm not sure I've actually said that at a board meeting, but I've told some of you that. I've done it almost 2 years, and it's time to turn it over. I, in putting this all together, as far as trying to automate things and get it on the web store online and so forth, I'm trying to separate jobs, figure out how we can split it into 3 or 4 different people or more to split up these responsibilities and make it a volunteer-sized job. I had said that I would do a job description of at least list the task that I was doing, because I think someone suggested it might be easier to get people to give them tasks rather than a job, a title.
Title.
Just to say, okay, yeah, I can do that task, whatever. So I put together a list of pretty much the jobs that I've been doing and have learned about a few other people's jobs through doing this one. And if you're sitting at a computer, I just put a link to it. I put it on the website today. This is a draft, and I just listed all of the different people, all the different positions that I could come up with that we have now, and some that are vacant. And I listed a few of, mostly it's just the jobs under the ones that I've done, and so that those are the only ones I really know exactly what the tasks are.
What we want to do is get
those update. We want to get this list updated so that everyone who's one of these has one of these jobs would list what they're doing. It'll make it a lot easier for us to get volunteers, and so if there are any disagreements about who's in charge of what, we can at least have something on paper and decide.
I believe it was about 3 board meetings ago that we made this an action item that we were going to do this, and I think I said I would do it, and I didn't get around to doing it. My apologies. This is a great start for it, and obviously it needs to be augmented and enhanced from there with more descriptions and more stuff out. So, but it's a great start, and I really want to thank you for doing that much.
Oh, sure. And I think we need to just post it on the general forum. I don't want this secret or any. This needs to be very open. And I don't see any reason we couldn't just post it on the general forum and ask everybody whose name is on here or who's done any of these jobs to give us an idea of what goes into doing these jobs. So we'll have a little – we have nothing. I couldn't really find anything written down that described any of these jobs. If anybody knows where there is something, let me know, and we'll copy it over, but – I really don't know that there's anything on any of our websites.
And, of course, the other thing this brings up is that you are planning on stepping down in now a month and a half, and at this point we still don't have any people stepping forward. Is that correct?
I have not heard of any. I am willing to continue working with the online store, the software end of it, and keeping it running. I just want someone else to take over. There's a lot of contact with the members and emails, just lots of interaction with members, which I did enjoy. I do enjoy that very much. It's just too much for one person.
Okay.
And so if you look this over, you'll see that I have suggested we could split this into, first of all, we said we need a marketing director, and that would pretty much be an overall marketing plan and work a little bit on the ads for Juggle Magazine, and perhaps with some branding and logo and so forth for that we might use from shirts or magnets or whatever we want to do.
But before we go into detail, are people wanting to go into detail tonight, or should we look this over and save that for later?
You may be able to just look it over. Basically, I just split it into a marketing director, a merchandise coordinator, a merchandise wholesale coordinator, and then just an online store manager. I think we could do that.
Okay, and does anyone have any questions or comments or at this point? I know most of you probably haven't had a chance to look at it yet.
Oh, this is Bob. I'd like to look at it before, much more comment, just because, like I say, I have no idea what we're talking about, to be honest with you.
Right. That's kind of what I assumed, so I didn't want to have a...
just an introduction,
on the thing because Joyce had been working on it, and I wanted to make sure that all board members knew it was there, and we can start fleshing this out and turning it into a much better living document.
Thanks, Joyce. That's great, because I think I was the one that brought up one time that, people don't volunteer because they don't know what these positions are for, so I think it's great you did that.
Okay. In that case, I'd like to move on to continuing business. Were there any other reports? I'm sorry. Any other reports? Okay, continuing business. I don't believe we have any continuing business that I know of. Is that correct? In that case, new business. I don't really think we have any new business either, but I did put down the mentoring plan that Stephen Ragatz, who I may or may not have spelled his name right, is putting together, because I think it's an exciting new thing, and I just wanted to kind of have it on the agenda as something that we make a statement about.
I would agree. I think that it would be nice to show a board support for this. Like I say, it doesn't really have to be on the agenda, but I mean, it would be nice to, you know, have something say, hey, the board, you know, unanimously.
Well, essentially what I did, just FYI for anyone who hasn't seen, the agenda basically becomes the minutes, and I was proposing that the minutes read new business mentoring plan, and then the board wishes to thank Stephen Ragatz for his work on putting together a mentoring plan. The plan has our full support. We can alter that wording. I zipped that out. But something very short and sweet that says, hey, we're behind you.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I don't think that's something that needs to have a vote, but I will say if anyone wants to object to this in any way, let me know now, and we'll deal with this in a more formal fashion if there is an objection. Are there any objections? In that case, I'm going to leave it just as it is. And that was it for new business that I had. Is there anything else that I've missed?
Dave, I probably should have spoken up earlier. This is Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning lesson plans that I've been putting together, I have 7 lesson plans together right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're aligned to the national standards already in art, science, phys ed, English, math, and guidance. So I'll be sending a few of those to you. I have 4 out of the 7 that are completely done and aligned not only to the national standards but also to Pennsylvania, Texas, and California standards. So I'll be sending those if I don't
know.
Now,
a question. When you say you're sending it to me, that means that's something to be put on the website, or is that something we want to submit to the magazine, or both?
It's up to the board and what you guys want to do with it. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
Putting it up on the website, I think, would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had talked about putting it in the magazine, but I don't know, you know, whether that's a viable thing to do at this point.
Well, one thing we can do is I can call Alan and say, hey, do you want to run this?
Yeah.
And then say, hey, we're planning on putting it on the website, you know, 2 months after you run it. We're reserving that right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to continue to use this document, but if we want to do a first run out in the magazine, we can do that. I don't know, just a thought.
I don't know how anyone else feels about that. I mean, I know I've shown a few of these lesson plans to other teachers in our school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, that's just my school, and they were like, wow, they thought that they were great and that they were new and different ideas for them. And one even said if they could juggle, they would use it in their room. So I said, well, let's learn.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the advantage of putting it straight to the website is it gets it out faster.
Right.
The magazine is slightly higher exposure, though, I think. So it's, you can go either way. I don't know which way is the way to go. We can decide this offline.
Yep, that's fine.
We could put one in the magazine as a teaser.
But if we do it in the magazine, then we can't do it as easily offline, because I don't want to have a public discussion about a piece that's going into the magazine. I want the magazine to be the fresh breath of air that people see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only public discussion would be should we run some? And I have to talk to see if it's even possible before we do that.
Right.
How many pages is it?
Of probably like a half page.
Half page? Well,
yeah.
Half page we can do no matter what. We can force that. We can put it in our section and might want to.
Like I said, I'm leaving that in your hands, in the
okay.
board's hands. So
good,
I
good. Okay.
The rest of the board's hands. Whatever
in that case,
we
may do it in both and leave that option. I like running it in the magazine.
Okay.
This is Bob. I also think, though, we have to have it online because I think it'll draw members. Cause,
right.
I know my wife's a teacher, and some people out of teaching don't know how important lesson plans are because you have to have them. It's not an option. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a lesson plan out there, teachers will use it, especially if it meets standards. It is incredible.
They'll eat it up.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Cool. Well, December 1st is the next magazine deadline. And I am wanting, you know, whatever. I haven't started to write the column, and I'm assuming that stuff like this will fill a good chunk of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's good. There's no action item on that, is there?
No.
Okay, and is that something you want listed as a report in the minutes?
Sure.
It's up to you. Do that. I think that's good. That gives it a little... let's add, who's taking notes again?
I am.
Okay. Well, in that case, get with yourself and just have at least a little section on the reports and put listed on as the final report before continuing business.
Okay.
We'll list it out of order unless there's an objection. Okay?
All
Anything
right.
else from anyone? In that case, I think it's probably time to move on. Let's discuss our next meeting. Jim has said that Thursdays are not good for him.
Okay.
So, at least for the next little while. Of course, in the next month, things get a little hectic. Tuesdays are best for me. I don't know what other people have.
I have a teaching commitment on Tuesday nights.
Okay.
Tuesday's not good for me either. This is Joyce.
Monday probably is good in December for me. Usually it's a bad night. Wednesday is okay. That's my juggling night, but I can make sure we have a quick meeting. Other than that, there's Fridays and weekends. Tuesdays and Thursdays are out. Probably Wednesday next. How does Wednesday work for people?
I know I can't do it the 14th if that's going to be the day. I'm sorry. It's like one of those once-a-year things.
No problem.
I mean, do the 7th or,
Well, the 7th is pretty quick.
Yeah.
And bad for me. I could do it, but it's not good.
Yeah. I just, and like I say, please don't arrange it all around me because I'm not that
21st is mighty close to Christmas.
Yeah.
We can also go earlier. We also might want to not set a meeting at this time. I'm not sure what it is we're going to do at the next meeting, but I like having a monthly meeting regardless. But December is going to be problematic, I have a feeling.
Is the 21st really that bad,
folks? It's fine for me at this moment. I'm still trying to go on a vacation around then, but it'll probably fall through, in which case it'll be fine.
It's fine with me.
We can set it for the 21st. And if it doesn't work out, we can cancel the meeting. That's easier to do than to call it later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 21st sound good?
Sure.
Okay, mark it down as the 21st then. Is this time good? Time slot good? Okay, keep
sure
the same time slot.
Okay.
And so that's 8 o'clock Eastern on December 21st. We will need to, of course, that'll be probably the next to last meeting. The January meeting is probably where we'll decide what to do with Juggle, just as a timeline for people. Okay? So having said that, last chance for anything on this meeting. In that case, would anyone like to move to adjourn? Anyone other than Bob, because he always does it?
I'll move to adjourn. This is Joyce.
Okay, Bob, you could too. I was just joking. okay, Joyce moves to adjourn. Is there any, if anyone objects, please speak so now. Hearing no objections, the meeting is adjourned at, I believe, 10:24 Eastern time?
9:24.
I haven't got used to the daylight savings time shift yet.
Yeah.
I checked 27 times to make sure I was at the right time for tonight's meeting. We just had the switch. Any rate, okay, so 9:24. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks, friends.
And be hearing from you soon, no doubt.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Everyone, too.
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye.